How has global warming in the past affected our capital city? That's one of the questions answered in Basil Cracknell's book, Outrageous Waves, Global Warming and Coastal Change in Britain Through 2000 Years.
London's been affected in all sorts of ways because global warming raises the sea level and that affects the tidal range. The tidal range is the extent to which the tide rises and falls. And of course, for a port like London, it's absolutely critical that there isn't a major change in the tidal range because that affects the way in which vessels can come up and down the river and dock. But one time, when the sea level rose drastically, it changed the whole docks in London in Roman times for useless. And the same thing happened at other times. Say, when the sea level rises, you have to change the whole dock system. It has major impact. And of course, the sea walls had to be risen to save the water flooding the town.
And how much has it affected London's economy, both currently and in the past?
I think London is such a major city that it hasn't really affected the economy exactly. It forced redevelopment time and time again of the riverside wharves and docks and, of course, the bridges. So it has an effect, but London's so huge, it hasn't really had a major impact on the capital, I'd say. But, of course, if there's a major flood ahead, and now people are now saying that the Thames Barrier will only last another 30 years, we really have to start thinking about some new protection for London, because if London gets flooded, we've seen what's happened to New Orleans, and it could be disastrous. In fact, some people are now saying London might have to move to the north of England because of the severe risk of flooding.
And in the past, has London ever really been that badly flooded historically?
Not really, no, it hasn't. There were various serious floods in the 20s, and there have been floods at various times. Palace of Westminster have been flooded several times. Rowing boats have been rowed through the palace. But the tide goes down again, and then the city gets back to normal. So up to now, it hasn't been that badly affected. But with things like the tube system and so on, the potential for damage is now very much greater.
And how well do you think London's prepared for the possibilities?
Well, I'm not sure, really. The authorities have been were put on guard by the 1953 floods that occurred. London, fortunately, was saved in 1953 by a hair's breadth. Of course, Canvey Island lost 100 people dead and thousands of people were marooned in the East Coast. So 1953 was a wake-up call. I think the authorities, since 1953, have set in motion all sorts of early warning systems. They've been raising the sea walls everywhere and they built the Thames Barrier. But it's not enough.
Has the rest of the south of England sort of suffered in the same kind of a way because so much of it is coastal area?
Yes, the worst affected have been the Holderness coast up in the north, the east coast of England, all the way down the east coast, and the south coast, the Sussex coast and Romney Marsh. These are all areas that have been very badly affected. Just near where I live at Cuckmere Haven, the cost of raising the seawalls is so great that they're now talking about letting the sea come in. And they're talking about habitats. These are fine habitats for waders and birds. And they're putting a positive slant on it, but it's really being forced on them by the high cost of sea defences. All the way along the south coast, Selsey, they can no longer afford to build sea defences to protect caravans and bungalows. There's a very real problem all the way along the exposed coasts.
Historically, has that been very similar, that there hasn't really been the money in the past, or that people, poorer people have ended up living in those areas because they're more prone to flooding?
Yes, in places like Canvey Island, which were bungalow development, that's a phrase they use for it, very cheap little bungalows. They never had the money to really build a proper defensive seawall. And where you get caravan sites, the rateable value is not high enough to really. So a lot of these areas, there isn't the money around. And the authorities that have the money are not prepared to spend it any longer on these areas. So they had to protect the heavily developed areas where there are factories, where there are major development of housing and so on. But the rest will have to go.
From the previous global warming and when sea level has risen around the UK, what sort of the lessons do you think we can take from there in order to help us with global warming today?
I think that one of the lessons is time lag. There's a time lag of about 100 years before the real impact of the global warming begins to affect the sea level. So we mustn't think that we've got time on our hands. We haven't. This is an insidious process that's going to go on. CO2 emissions, it takes 30-odd years or so before the full impact of carbon dioxide emissions begins to make itself felt. So we're really facing a situation where it's going to get worse and worse before it can possibly get better.
That's Basil Cracknell. His book, Outrageous Waves, is published by Phillimore.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.